curators behind a new retrospective call artist Beverly Buchanan's a singular voice within the art history. Buchanan became a full-time artist in 1977 when she was in her late 30s. That was after a career in public health in New York. 1977 was also the year that she moved to Georgia, where she ended up spending most of her adult life. Buchanan passed away in 2015 and left behind an impressive collection of work, from sculptures to anthropological stories about people that she encountered, which she called legends. 150 of her pieces, that's 150 of her pieces, are included in the retrospective, which is now on view at the Spelman College Museum of Fine Art. Our host, Lois Reitzes, spoke with the two curators, Park MacArthur and Jennifer Burris, about the exhibit, which is called Beverly Buchanan, Ruins and Rituals. You'll hear Jennifer's voice first.
She studied medical technology, public health, and even turned down medical school. She was accepted to med school. Does her background in science and math inform her artwork?
Absolutely. There's actually a quote from a conversation that she was part of in 1985, and she says this: "One of the things that parasitology allowed me to do was investigate. That meant questions and answers and talking to people and finding out what kind of things they were exposed to. Most of the Southern writers take different lives and put them together. What I'm doing is taking parts of different family experiences from different people and putting them together into one thing." So this experience that Beverly had very early on in her public health career of going into a community, of gathering information, gathering histories, and kind of piecing them together into a system, she replicated in making sculptures. She would make cabins and shacks and write accompanying texts that she called legends that really pieced together different mythologies, different stories she had heard from all the people she encountered during her years living in the South, and compiled them in a way very similar to Southern writers like Zora Neale Hurston, and presented it as one composite work that spoke to the spirit of an experience rather than the actual fact of it.
Beverly Buchanan explored Southern vernacular architecture, and usually we think of vernacular as speech. So what was this vernacular exploration?
Well, some of these homes are known as dog trot, low country homes, saddlebag homes. These are often homes that people made themselves. They were farming communities, and there might be multiple families living in them. And these were homes that Beverly had often visited, accompanying her father on trips around the South. He was dean of the School of Agriculture at South Carolina State University. And he was also a state agent and was often traveling to homes. And Beverly was able to revisit her both memories and her interest in community, and how in many cases the home was, I think she even used this word, sort of a metaphor. She would often name some of her sculptures after people.
She became fascinated not just with the homes that people would build themselves, often without nails or without any formal architectural training. And she wanted to document these homes in a way that she often saw disappearing, this moment of Southern history and Southern culture that is being torn down, isn't being documented. And so this process of learning about these structures, she would just, she said, drive off the interstate on the back roads of Georgia. And when she saw a house that seemed like it fit into this category of vernacular architecture, she would walk up to the front door, knock on the door, and ask to take photos, ask about where that building came from, ask about the histories of the people who lived in that place. And so she developed this very multifaceted practice or body of work that included typewritten narratives of the conversations she had, photographs of the homes, and then these sculptures that would kind of build upon these research experiences.
With the shack, which probably is the best known form of the vernacular architecture she explored, she had a unique take on it. It wasn't necessarily negative or dilapidated. She infused warmth into it.
And saw a real power and a beauty in them, and in a beauty in that survival instinct. And also she felt, and there's a quote that talks about this, really drawn to structures that spoke of isolation and seeing a power and a fascination in that isolation, and returned to this throughout her life, be it the isolation of a building in the Bronx or the isolation of a house in the aftermath of a hurricane. And for whatever reason, this characteristic of particular structures she saw as emblematic of a resistance in the face of histories that often dismiss the power of that object.
So she's addressing social injustice.
Very much so.
And she often has the word ruin or ruins in her titles. Why did she focus on ruin?
There's a quote as well that we often loop back to because she said exactly this, that a lot of my titles have the word ruins in them. And she said that underscoring the idea of ruins and ruination would often help get closer to the fact that she would say as a house, as a shack, as a sculpture, as a person, as a community, I'm still here. We're still here. We're surviving. And so I think implicit in her underscoring of ruinations are acts of resistance.
From what I observed in the images that were available, walls have a fascination for her. And I'd appreciate if you'd comment on the walls and beginning with a wall.
Early on in her experience of working as a public health educator, this took her all around New York and New Jersey, and she would often come across a single wall that was once part of an entire structure, be that a factory or an apartment building. And these were pieces she actually began painting and titled A Black Wall Series. And she recounts first seeing a single black wall that she had in her consciousness and in her memory, but hadn't actually seen in person. And the idea of having both something that comes to into view because all of the other pieces have been removed through processes of ruination, allow you to see actually some of the structure and the use and the beauty of the singular piece that stands out. She worked on a series that she named Frustula, which means fragments. And in many cases, her work in general is a combination of fragments. In the case of the legends, these are parts of individual narratives that she finds connections between and is able to put together. In many cases, that was how she was looking at some of the early wall works as well.
Beverly Buchanan was not obscure.
Yeah.
She won many prestigious awards during her lifetime. Do you think she will be like so many artists who may gain even greater recognition after they've died?
I think she absolutely will. And I think this recognition of artists after their death is too often happens, particularly in the case of artists who are women or artists who live and work outside mainstream art communities like New York City, Manhattan, London, Paris. However, that being said, in first learning about her work and reading about her work, what Park and I both felt strongly is that so much of the ideas and the topics she was wrestling with and really coming up with unique responses to questions are the same questions that animate contemporary art discourse. Namely, what is the relationship between an activist practice, a social practice, and a formal practice? How do we create sculptures that speak to history and memory in oblique ways or in formal ways? How do we engage the communities that you live in without, in a way, exploiting or turning those communities into a subject for your art, but really engaging with them on a on an authentic, respectful, equal way. And I think these are questions that artists continue to wrestle with. I mean, in a way that's very, very prescient in the U.S. over the last few months, is what should we memorialize in our public spaces? What history should be foregrounded? What histories should not be? What form does a memorial take? And that those were all questions that animated her work.
Yeah, in many cases, you know, the art professional art world is still very white. It's very upper middle class. It's very male in many cases. And we always need artists who help us understand our world, which is not just one example of what culture looks like or what culture is coming out of only a very kind of unified and frankly, you know, incomplete understanding of ourselves.
We talk so much of ruins, and for most people, the knee-jerk reaction is the ruins is an aftermath of a civilization. But for Beverly, in so many words, ruins were a beginning. She had a piece of writing from 1977, the year that she decided to leave public health and devote herself to art full time, and she explicitly titles this piece Urban Ruins, a Beginning. And she writes, a delicate strength, strong, fragile, dark, light, but not weak. Not weak in the sense of an instant falling apart at the seams. Rather, it is made to eventually crumble. How fast or slow it becomes a ruin is unknown. And besides, how long do modern paintings last?
Also, I read that with the shack, she didn't see it as a remnant. She saw it as a bold statement of survival.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Puck,
yeah.
As an artist yourself, why do you think it's particularly important to highlight Beverly Buchanan's work now?
Because we need to know that people like ourselves are making art, that they have full lives devoted to art practices, and it's important to see often oneself represented in the field both of culture and of art. And so to have an artist working in the South, a queer Black woman who is making incredibly complicated artwork that not only affirms but holds contradiction in its very essence, is something that I think helps us understand who we are and the world that we live in as well.
Park MacArthur, Jennifer Burris, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. This was such a pleasure.